Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Labor unrest might possibly break out again in Poland. The Independent Trade Union Solidarity local chapter in Lodz has declared a strike alert to protest the firing of five union members, a move that could disrupt the recent agreement on a 90-day strike moratorium. In July 1968, Soviet President Leonid Brezhnev and the leaders of East Germany, Poland, Hungary, and Bulgaria discussed events in Czechoslovakia. Then they sent a message to Czech leaders warning that the fight to save socialism in Czechoslovakia was their fight too. 5 weeks later, the Warsaw Pact nations invaded Czechoslovakia. Bert Quinn in Warsaw reports that a similar message was given to Poland's leaders yesterday in Moscow by that same Leonid Brezhnev and his key aides.
The Polish Communist Party newspaper today gives some details of the meeting of Polish Party Chief Kania and Polish Premier Jaruzelski with the Russians. Without quoting anyone directly, the newspaper says the Moscow discussion referred to hopes of imperialism and Polish reactionaries that the economic and political crisis in Poland will lead to the weakening of the international communist movement. It is especially urgent to give a firm and decisive response to such dangerous attempts, the meeting is said to have stressed. And the key phrase, the socialist commonwealth is unbreakable, and the defense of it is a matter not only of each state, but of the entire socialist coalition. Kania and Jaruzelski reportedly pledged to strive to overcome anarchy and chaos and to strengthen the socialist system. It was not spelled out in the report, but they appeared to be trying to convince their allies that they could do this on their own without the need of help from the Warsaw Pact armies. Bert Quint, CBS News, Warsaw.
Some Western analysts in Warsaw say yesterday's Moscow conference shows the Soviets still think the situation in Poland is headed downhill. Secretary of State Haig was on Capitol Hill yesterday afternoon to discuss the Salvadoran situation, and we'll hear about that from Diane Sawyer.
The Secretary of State met with nearly half the U.S. Senate in a session hastily called by Majority Leader Howard Baker. State Department sources say Baker was worried about the news accounts of tough U.S. policies in El Salvador and towards the Soviet Union. They say Baker thought the stories were making his colleagues nervous. And indeed, the situation was made worse when a Salvadoran army colonel said the Reagan administration favors a military coup, a charge Haig denied. But in fact, the administration does fear that a right-wing coup in El Salvador is possible. So Haig also warned that if the right wing takes over by force, it will destroy U.S. congressional support for military aid to combat the guerrillas. In other words, that the right wing should stay where it is if it wants U.S. help in defeating the left. Diane Sawyer, CBS News at the State Department.
A prominent U.S. source in San Salvador has pointed out that Washington would not, in his words, look favorably at a move to the right, a statement that Charles Gomez reports was made to emphasize the Reagan administration's commitment to support the Duarte government.
Apparent mixed signals from Washington sparked a flurry of concern in San Salvador. Some extreme rightists confidently boasted that the Reagan administration would not stand in the way of a coup. Such talk prompted Salvadoran President José Napoleón Duarte to abruptly cancel a scheduled trip to West Germany. It also caused acting American Ambassador Frederick Chapin to say that the U.S. opposes a coup and is behind Duarte in his move to implement existing democratic reforms. Sources also pointed out that the American government still considers a threat from the leftist guerrilla movement far greater than any threat from the right. Charles Gomez, CBS News, San Salvador.
Congress is now considering President Reagan's request for higher military expenditures, reported by CBS News Pentagon correspondent Ike Pappas.
One of the biggest slices of the new Reagan defense plan goes to the Navy, which will get 15 more new or reactivated ships than President Carter wanted. Appearing before the Senate Armed Services Committee to present the Reagan defense budget, Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger made it clear the United States is seeking to regain supremacy of the seas from the Soviets.
You can put any kind of label or any kind of tag on that you want. I don't think we're in that happy condition now. I think we have to get in that kind of condition. I think it's precisely the kind of condition that England had to have a century ago and more, and it's what we have to have now.
You mean Rule Britannia for America?
It was a pretty good song, one way or another, we have to be able to do these things.
Weinberger sailed through the Senate hearing virtually unchallenged on the sharp defense increases, and there were predictions of quick congressional approval of the Reagan plan. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The president today is seeking additional support for his entire economic recovery plan, with a White House breakfast for about 40 conservative Democratic representatives, followed this afternoon by a full cabinet meeting. Before he leaves for Camp David tomorrow for the weekend, the president will hold a news conference. Joseph Paul Franklin was convicted in Salt Lake City last night of violating the civil rights of two black joggers by fatally shooting them. Ted Fields and David Martin were killed last summer while jogging with two white women. Cornelia De Bruin of Station KSL reports.
Franklin faces the possibility of life imprisonment on each of the guilty charges handed down last night by a Salt Lake City federal court jury in the Fields-Martin sniper slayings. But the case may be tied up for a long time. Salt Lake County attorneys say they're ready now to prosecute the self-avowed white supremacist on state murder charges, and Franklin's defense attorney says he plans an appeal of the federal guilty verdict. Franklin also faces charges of bank robbery in two other states and is suspected in other sniper slayings of blacks, including the attempted murder of civil rights leader Vernon Jordan in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Cornelia De Bruin for CBS News, Salt Lake City.
Franklin denies that he shot the joggers in Salt Lake City, and he calls his conviction a government frame-up. The state of California is now presenting its case in the creationism versus evolution trial in Sacramento, reported by Barry Peterson.
The creationists have narrowed the focus of the suit considerably, saying it is really just a First Amendment case of religious freedom. What they want, they say, is just some minor tinkering with the state's science framework, a booklet that serves as a curriculum guideline for teachers and textbook publishers, and which now says evolution alone explains how the world came about. The creationists say make room for those who think evolution is only one among several theories. Then their religious beliefs wouldn't be offended. But attorneys for the state, while pulling back from plans to call scientists to testify about evolution, seem no less determined to hold the line, saying in effect that any changes in the science framework would make room for creationism and other religions to get a foothold in science classes, when, say the attorneys, that isn't science at all. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Sacramento, California.
In Atlanta, another black child has been reported missing, but police are treating the case as a runaway, and it has not been added to the list of 19 killings and two disappearances among Atlanta's black children.
At Datsun, we believe the greatest economy of all is quality.
Drive a Datsun for all it's worth.
These days you hear a lot of talk about miles per gallon. Well, one voice still talks about years per car.
Talk to me, Datsun.
Every 1981 Datsun is built with a one-piece solid steel unibody, not hung together by nuts and bolts.
Far less rattles.
And far more years.
Drive a Datsun.
Every Datsun is armed to resist rust, built with panels of galvanized steel, coatings of zinc metal, yards of sealers, and special anti-chipping compound.
Nice work, Datsun.
Hey, if we didn't drive ourselves the way we do, your Datsun wouldn't drive the way it does.
Drive a Datsun for all it's worth. We are driven.
To give you more miles per gallon and more years per car.
Here's a story with a familiar ring to it. Foreign imports are undercutting domestic industry, causing local companies heavy losses and idling their factories. It sounds like another example of Japanese products overtaking American goods. But, as we hear from Bruce Dunning in Tokyo, not this time.
Now it's a Japanese industry that's going to the government here seeking help against what's being called a torrential flood of American imports. In this case, processed aluminum. U.S. firms can now produce aluminum ingots and transport them to Japan at considerably lower cost than the Japanese manufacturers. According to industry sources here, the major reason is that aluminum smelting demands a lot of electricity, and in Japan, most electricity is generated by imported oil. As oil prices have soared, so have electricity rates in Japan. But, say the sources, electricity in the United States is cheaper. So American firms now deliver aluminum in Japan for 25% less than the Japanese firms. Sales of U.S. aluminum in Japan have jumped 20 times over the past 4 years, and last year totaled over $500 million. Japanese production has dropped from 1.6 million tons a year to barely a million last year, with greater losses expected this year. So like American auto builders, Japanese aluminum makers want the government to provide relief from foreign competition. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
Gold declined today overseas. The price was fixed in London this morning at $457 an ounce, down 10, and the lowest price in London since December 1979. The dollar dropped about a yen in Tokyo, and it's mixed in Western Europe. New earthquakes have shaken Greece. One occurred last night. It was followed by another one this morning, causing fresh damage, but no new serious casualties.
CBS News. President Reagan continues forming the skirmish line for his economic battle in Congress. Good morning. This is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Yesterday, 52 Republican freshman congressmen had breakfast with Mr. Reagan, and 50 of them took the pledge to support his new economics. This morning, more than 40 conservative Democrats were accorded the same White House treatment, and Neil Strozer has the story.
The 44 conservative House Democrats gave Mr. Reagan a plan for an additional $11.2 billion in budget cuts. The plan including a change in the formula for computing cost of living adjustments, still more cuts in foreign aid, elimination of the Legal Services Corporation, and repeal of the requirement that workers on federal projects be paid union scale. They said the president was pleased but made no commitment and defended themselves against questions suggesting they were sounding more Republican than Democratic. Tom Bevel of Alabama.
We had conservative Southern Democrats before we ever had a Republican Party. So nobody has a monopoly on cutting expenses and the just common horse sense of balancing a budget.
Their support of the Reagan economic program is not complete. Bevel and other Democrats said they felt expenses should be cut and the budget balanced before cutting taxes. Neil Strozer, CBS News, the White House.
The nation's largest conservative group announced this morning it will spend whatever amount it takes to spotlight members of Congress who vote against Mr. Reagan's economic program. Representative Mickey Edwards, an Oklahoma Republican, is president of the American Conservative Union, which claims 350,000 members. He says the ACU will use the media and even direct mail to, quote, put the clamps on both Democrats and Republicans who don't go along. More news after this.
Everyone knows the value of eating a good hot breakfast. It's the value of cooking a good hot breakfast that you question, right? Well, since your mornings are hectic, here's a little break. Your breakfast is ready at McDonald's. We're scrambling fresh eggs, stirring up fluffy hotcakes, and stacking up our delicious Egg McMuffin. So come on in. There's no excuse for skipping breakfast anymore.
Nobody can do it.
Your breakfast is ready at McDonald's.
Like McDonald's can.
Give a man a challenge and give a man a Craftsman. A Craftsman 10-inch radial arm saw. On sale now during Sears National Hardware Week, you save $140. It's America's best-selling radial arm saw. Get that power and upfront control now only $279.99. Look for the Sears National Hardware Week circular for more great savings on a great name in tools. For quality and value, Craftsman is another reason you can count on Sears.
These are the minimum savings nationally. Regular prices vary in some markets.
The civilian president of the junta that rules El Salvador says he's ordered the arrest of a right-wing major who's been advocating a conservative coup. American diplomats in San Salvador now blame that major for the machine gun attack on the U.S. embassy, at first chalked up to communist guerrillas. The president, Duarte, says the major, Roberto d'Aubuisson, would be jailed. Thus far, though, no indication he's actually in custody. Budget cutting is the watchword on Capitol Hill these days, and the House Budget Committee heard from the General Accounting Office this morning, the GAO's Donald Scantlebury, accusing the Pentagon of bad bookkeeping in the past.
We found that more than $1 billion in costs, which should have been but were not recovered from foreign countries. For example, in 1978, we reported to the Congress that because defense had not charged for the use of U.S. plant and equipment for foreign military sales as required by law, over $100 billion had been lost on the cases that we reviewed.
2 years ago, on their honeymoon, Herbert and Ann Redd crashed in a light plane near the Grand Canyon. They lived through it, spent a night on a ledge, and were rescued. Yesterday, searchers found the bodies of Herbert and Ann Redd in the wreckage of another light plane 10 miles from the site of the first crash. The moral might be, if at first you succeed, don't try again. Now this.
Reach out. Touch someone so far away and yet so close. Hello?
Hello, Grandma. Hi, it's Debbie. Grandma, I know I'm going to see you in a couple days, but you
Debbie,
know, I just
honey,
had to...
Slow down, honey.
It's all so exciting.
Well, of course it's exciting, honey. It's not every day a girl gets married.
Grandma, how can you be so calm?
Well, honey, it's just that my happy is quieter than your happy.
Grandma, I picked up my dress today. Mom thinks it's a little too loud for the wedding, but you're going to love it. Oh, it's
I'm
so
sure
beautiful.
You're going to be the prettiest bridesmaid in the whole world.
Have you decided yet where you're going to go on your honeymoon?
Nope, not yet. It depends on how long Charles can get off work.
Oh, Grandma, it's so good talking to you. See how you settled me down? Thanks for calling.
I didn't call you, honey. You called me.
Oh, yeah.
Reach out and touch someone.
The Bell System.
Reach out and touch someone.
A local union in Poland has sounded another strike alert after communist leaders from Warsaw and Moscow got together and warned again there might be intervention if anarchy and disarray continue. A powerful storm that left 2 feet of snow in Colorado and the prairies filled with blessed moisture is whirling through the east this morning. Parts of Maryland got a 7-inch snowfall. It's reached into New York City and is snowing heavily at the moment. It's coming down, too, on Wall Street, where after 1 hour, the Dow Industrial Average is down 2.19 at 969.25, volume more than 13 million shares. Reed Collins, CBS News.
Newsbreak. I'm Steve Young, substituting for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. The prestigious New England Journal of Medicine this week informs us of a new disease, something akin to tennis elbow. We have Dr. William Mebbin III to thank for this contribution to the medical literature. Dr. Mebbin, a physician at Philadelphia's Chestnut Hill Hospital, says the newly described disease involves the tip of the bone called the epicondyle. Dr. Mebbin should know, it was his epicondyle. The problem was Hogan. Hogan is Dr. Mebbin's black Labrador. In a moment, details on Dog Walker's Elbow.
It's not always easy pulling yourself together in the morning. So if you found matching socks and made it out the door today, give yourself a little reward. Your breakfast is ready at McDonald's. Come on in and sit down with a steaming cup of our own specially brewed coffee, some fresh scrambled eggs, pure pork sausage, and crunchy McDonald's hash browns. We're right on your way, so come on in.
Nobody can do it.
Your breakfast is ready at McDonald's.
Like McDonald's can.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Care to come up and see my Sony Beta cassette collection?
I'd love to.
There it is.
Oh, he really means it.
My Sony dealer was having terrific deals.
Great.
Great prices on the Sony Beta cassettes with picture-perfect pictures.
Uh-huh.
Then I saw the modular storage cases I've been looking everywhere for.
Oh,
look.
Great.
And they were a special deal, too.
Oh.
Well, let's get back to the party.
Great.
For great deals on Sony Beta cassettes and the perfect cases to hold them, see your participating Sony dealer and get full details.
Oh, great.
Thanks to his black Labrador Hogan, Dr. William N. Mebbin III has achieved a limited amount of medical notoriety. In a letter published in the New England Journal of Medicine, Dr. Mebbin complains of recurring symptoms.
I developed a great deal of tenderness and pain in my left elbow on the outside. Couldn't understand exactly why I had this persistent discomfort in my left elbow. Really a tennis elbow in my left arm, but I'm not left-handed and don't play tennis left-handed.
It hurt like the dickens, he says, and the pain wouldn't go away. Then, inexplicably, the pain switched to Dr. Mebbin's right elbow. Being of scientific mind, the physician analyzed possible causes. He concluded he plays tennis rarely, leaf raking won't start until next fall. As for wood chopping, he sends his son out to the old woodpile. Dr. Mebbin deduced the culprit was his pooch.
Ah, I said, maybe that's the recurrent trauma of Hogan tugging on my elbow that's given me first a tennis elbow on the left and then a tennis elbow on the right.
He describes Hogan as an obedient school dropout. Mebbin says Hogan's residual training caused him to walk on his left side, but he tugged constantly to sniff most bushes, poles, trash containers, fire plugs, and dogs, both male and female. Each tug increased the pressure on his sore elbow. Switching the leash from the left hand to the right hand just moved the location of the problem. He dubbed the condition Hogan's elbow. Seems as if an apter name might have been Mebbin's elbow. Well, what's a doctor to do? Stop walking the dog? That was unacceptable to both Mebbin and Hogan.
recycle Hogan through obedience school? Dr. Mevin thought that wasn't a bad idea, but he says Hogan objected. The ultimate solution, pass the leash and the problem to his spouse.
When I gave up walking Hogan by myself, took my wife along to take care of the dog, I had a tremendous improvement in the symptoms.
Let Hogan pull my wife's epicondyles a bit, Mevin concludes in his letter. Hogan, he says, is happy, my arms are better, and all three of us enjoy being out together. Dr. Mevin, some advice from the former owner of a Dalmatian named Petey. Petey was a good dog, but he sure needed a lot of exercise. My plan was to jog with him, you know, around the reservoir in Central Park. But Petey would either lurch ahead, straining on his leash, or lag behind, causing me to stumble. You might consider doing what worked for me. Trade Hogan in for a cat or two. Now this message.
When you want quality, instant printing in a hurry, see the professionals who print at PIP.
The big reason why PIP is America's number one instant printer is quality at low price. And you can always depend on fast, friendly service. PIP printers use professional printing presses. They're trained in the latest techniques for letterheads, carbonless forms, brochures, sales reports. Look for the PIP near you in the yellow pages under printers. That's PIP.
Newsbreak, Thursday, March 5th, 1981. I'm Steve Young, CBS News.
CBS News. One of the leading Republicans in the United States Senate says the Soviet Union will test the administration in the next 60 to 90 days. And the Senate Majority Leader says the political test is in El Salvador. I'm Richard C. Hautelet reporting on the CBS Radio Network. John Tower of Texas, chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, told reporters this morning that the Soviet Union may provoke a crisis with the United States by late spring to test the Reagan administration. Typically, that's what the Soviets like to do, said Tower. They like to prove the new boy to see what stuff he's made of, unquote. Tower was for increased U.S. military strength in general, but having just returned from a tour of the Middle East, he focused on that area, advocating that the United States improve its facilities there to increase its ability to deploy force. Senate Majority Leader Howard Baker, at a press conference in Washington, looked more in the direction of El Salvador. The Soviet Union, said Baker, and not the Reagan administration, has chosen El Salvador as a political testing ground. And Baker said, quote, we're not going to give Cuba and the Soviet Union a free ride in this hemisphere anymore, and they should know that.
My hope would be that with those statements made by the administration, with a clear new statement of unambiguous American foreign policy in this hemisphere, that the Soviet Union would stop, they would desist from supplying ammunition and material and equipment to the insurgents in El Salvador. That Cuba and Castro would stop the business of trying to export their diplomatic and military mischief to Nicaragua and El Salvador. And that everybody would just cool it.
More news after this.
America has asked for Penn's oil since America learned to drive. Penn's oil, the ask for motor oil.
La Trobe, Pennsylvania. Stroll with Arnold Palmer around the grounds of his boyhood home.
When I was a kid, I used to work this old gas pump. Never thought I'd be back here telling you how to save gasoline with Penn's Oil. You see, Penn's Oil's taken their regular line of multi-weight oils, 10W30 and 10W40, the weights people use most, and they made them gas-saving. What's more, they've done it at their regular price.
Gas-saving Penn's Oil. Quality in every extra mile.
America has asked for Penn's Oil.
Four, 44 conservative Democratic congressmen had breakfast with President Reagan this morning and handed him a plan for cutting an additional $11 billion from the budget for fiscal years 1981 and 82. Alabama's Representative Tom Bevel says the plan has a different emphasis from that proposed by the White House.
I am for cutting expenses and getting our budget balanced before we start cutting taxes.
Now, I'm going to support a tax cut, and if you want my opinion as to what's going to come out, the Kemp-Roth will not pass. It's going to be a compromise. There's going to be some changes made in it.
Congressmen of either party who balk at passing key portions of the president's economic package can expect to be at the receiving end of a lot of negative publicity, or so at least says Republican Representative Mickey Edwards, president of the American Conservative Union.
What we intend to do is to make a major effort to let people know whenever their senator or their representative fails to vote for a key part of the Reagan package, and we're going to especially concentrate on those congressional districts that elected a Democrat to Congress, but at the same time gave Ronald Reagan a mandate to try to change the direction of the country.
Edwards says the ACU will spend whatever it takes to spotlight the holdouts, whether that's $5,000 or $500,000. Stocks and other news after this.
Give a man a challenge and give a man a Craftsman. A Craftsman 10-inch radial arm saw. On sale now during Sears National Hardware Week, you save $140. It's America's best-selling radial arm saw. Get that power and upfront control now only $279.99. Look for the Sears National Hardware Week circular for more great savings on a great name in tools. For quality and value, Craftsman is another reason you can count on Sears.
These are the minimum savings nationally. Regular prices vary in some markets.
This is Paul Page, voice of the Indianapolis 500, saying you can win an all-expense Indy weekend for two from A.B. Dick. Yes, you could share in the excitement of the Indy 500. It's our way of calling attention to the wide selection of A.B. Dick copiers. Visit your local A.B. Dick office for a demonstration. Enter our spectacular Indy sweepstakes. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited, winner must be of legal age. See A.B. Dick copiers in action. You might win a spectacular Indy weekend for two. Sweepstakes ends March 31st.
Jack Kuron, Poland's leading dissident, was arrested today. He was released after questioning, however, but must report on suspicion of slandering the state. He must report to the police twice a week. The article under which Kuron was briefly held carries a jail sentence from 6 months to 8 years. More trouble seems to be brewing between the Solidarity Free Trade Union movement and the government. The independent labor union chapter in the city of Lodz has announced a strike alert to protest the firing of 5 hospital workers. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average down 1.31, volume on the big board nearly 21.5 million shares, the Dow Jones Industrials 970.13. Richard C. Hotelet, CBS News.